Shalom. I am Jeff Mills, and you are listening to the weekly Shabbat teaching of Congregation Beit HaAmet, brought to you by HaAmet Ministries, where we encourage you to rethink, relearn, and return to the pure word and way of our Elohim. For more teachings, resources, and information about HaAmet Ministries, please visit our website at www.haamet.org. That's www.haemet.org. Blessings, and may our Abba continue to guide you and lead you into all truth. Shabbat Shalom.
What was it that caused you to turn to Abba? What caused you to start focusing your attention on Him and to have a hunger and a thirst for His Word? What caused you to start seeking Him? Was it something that you just decided to do on your own? Or was there more? Our Abba creates a hunger in us and a desire. He draws us. And He gives us a little bit of His Spirit so that we can taste it and see that it is good. He gives us a little feeling, a little hint and sense of what His true shalom is. And it is unlike anything we have ever experienced before. He reveals Himself to us, and it starts to give us just a little glimmer of who He is and what He is all about. And we like it. We taste it, and we want more. Now, why do you think He does that? And what is His purpose in doing that? Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26. For look at your calling, brothers, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. But Elohim has chosen the foolish matters of the world to put to shame the wise. And Elohim has chosen the weak of the world to put to shame the strong. And Elohim has chosen the lowborn of the world and the despised and the ones that are not, that He might bring to naught the ones that are, so that no flesh should boast in His presence. And of Him you are in Messiah Yehoshua, who became for us wisdom from Elohim, righteousness also, and set apartness and redemption, that as it has been written, he who boasts, let him boast in Yahweh. Look at your calling. When Abba has a purpose for someone, He calls them out of the world and the life they have been living. And they become filled with an overwhelming urge to obey Him. But even in that, He does not force anyone. They still have the choice whether to live a life of obedience to Him or not. You know, our Messiah tells us that many are called, but few are chosen. How many people have had that urge, that sense, but yet never acted on it, never turned to him, never accepted what he was offering them, because they're caught up in cares of the world or, you know, pursuits of this life, the things they think are more important. When someone is being called, it is up to them whether they respond to that calling or not. And sometimes a calling is on someone before they even come into this physical world. There are those people who are predestined to serve Abba from the beginning of their existence. When Jeremiah received his calling, he didn't think he was up to it. He didn't think he was capable. He didn't think he was able. But Abba had some words for him. Jeremiah 1 and verse 4. Jeremiah 1 and verse 4. Now the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And before you came out of the womb, I did set you apart. I appointed you a prophet to nations. And said I, ah, Master Yahweh, see, I do not know how to speak, for I am a youth. And Yahweh said to me, do not say, I am a youth, but go to all to whom I send you, and speak whatever I command you. Do not fear their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, declares Yahweh. Then Yahweh put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and Yahweh said to me, see, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the reins to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. That's a pretty important calling. And what if Jeremiah had refused? What if he had passed on that opportunity? Now, what if he was too busy doing other things? He had a very important calling upon him, and Yahweh had chosen and predestined him for what he was to do. And when you have a calling upon you, it takes priority over everything else, and your life becomes serving Yahweh in the way that He chooses for you. How many of us have thought about our calling in that way? How many of us are prepared to go wherever Yahweh tells us to go? And to do whatever he tells us to do. When he told Avram to leave and go to a land that he would show him, Avram just left. You know, can we lay everything down and follow where Yah tells us to go? Or are there other things that are just more important? Let's look at Exodus 2 and verse 1. Exodus 2 and verse 1. And a man of the house of Levi went and married a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bore a son, and she saw that he was a lovely child, and she hid him 3 months. And when she could hide him no longer, she took an ark of wicker for him, and coated it with tar and pitch, and put the child in it and laid it in the reeds by the edge of the river. And his sister stood at a distance to know what would be done to him. That's interesting in this verse, because we're told that Moshe's mother saw that he was a lovely child. You know, she recognized there was something important about him. She recognized that he was special. In Hebrew, it says ki tov, which means for good. So Moshe's mother saw that it was for good. And what does that remind you of? In Genesis 1:4, the same words are used. Genesis 1:4 says, "And Elohim saw the light, that it was good. And Elohim separated the light from the darkness." It is the same words there, ki tov. So when Moshe was born, his mother saw that it was good. It was special. It was something different, and she knew it. Something special about Moshe. And Yahweh knew it too. And why was Moshe's mother inspired to use those same words? Moshe's calling began before he was even born. And is there any doubt that Moshe had a calling in his life? And why was it that his mother could not hide him any longer? It goes way beyond him being 3 months old. She knew that Yahweh had a purpose for him. Moshe had a destiny, and it was all in Yahweh's perfect timing. Do you think anyone else other than the daughter of Pharaoh would have been able to open up that wicker ark? I believe that Abba sealed Moshe in that ark just like he sealed Noach and his family in the ark before the flood. What would drive a mother to place her son into an ark and close him up in it and just set him upon the river, unless she had the confidence and the trust in Yah and knew he was going to watch over her son and that he had a greater purpose, and that she had to let him go? And was it just by chance that Moshe ended up in the royal house of Egypt? That Pharaoh's daughter just happened to be there that day? That of all places, that ark just happened to float to that place where she was? Now look at the circumstances leading up to Moshe being placed in the river. Exodus 1 and verse 22. And Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, throw every son who is born into the river, and keep every daughter alive. You know, it is absolutely amazing to see how Yah works and how he uses situations for his own purpose. Pharaoh's own words brought Moshe into his house. Moshe's mother obeyed Pharaoh and put her son into the river. And it was Pharaoh's own daughter who pulled him out. It is amazing how the hand of Yah moves in people's lives. When he has purpose and something for someone to do, he makes it happen. And there's no resisting him. So Moshe was raised up in the royal house of Egypt and became a great general and a great leader. And he knew the inner workings of Egypt very well. And he knew how to navigate and work with the court of Pharaoh. Was he being prepared? Were all of these things that he was going through setting up for a future event? What must Moshe have felt like when his world came crashing down and he was forced to flee from Egypt? You know, this lifestyle he was used to leading, the prestige and the honor and the place in Pharaoh's court, and all of that changed suddenly and drastically. His whole world came crashing down upon him. Was that part of Yahweh's plan and calling on Moshe's life? We have to conclude it was. It was something he needed to experience. How many of us look at events in our lives and recognize that things that we endure and go through are part of the calling he puts on us? And there are things that we have to experience, things we can't avoid, because he wants us to experience them. He wants us to live through situations for a purpose. So Moshe goes to Midian, and once again, Yah's hand is upon him as he immediately finds favor with Yitro, the priest of Midian, and is given Yitro's daughter for a wife. So now, Moshe enters a new phase of his calling. Did he realize that there was a purpose for what he was going through? Did he realize there was a purpose for him to dwell there in that land and to live the life of a shepherd? I mean, imagine, you know, losing your place in the royal house and just becoming a shepherd. So Moshe is prosperous and he's happy in Midian, but Yah was not done with it. Moshe had a calling to fulfill. He had a purpose and a mission to complete that was still undone, and everything he had been through in his life leading up to this point was preparing him for the real work that Yah had for him to do. So Moshe had an established relationship with Yah before the burning bush, and Moshe had experienced that consuming fire before. Let's look at Exodus 3, verse 1. Exodus 3 and verse 1. And Moshe was shepherding the flock of Yitro his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of Elohim. And the messenger of Yahweh appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. And he looked and saw the bush burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. And Moshe said, "Let me turn aside now and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn." And Yahweh saw that he turned aside to see, and Elohim called to him from the midst of the bush and said, "Moshe, Moshe." And he said, "Here I am." What compelled Moshe to go to Horeb? He knew it was the mountain of Elohim. And something drew him there this particular day. Why was he so curious about the bush, and why was he unafraid? Yahweh was calling him there to that spot, and he responded. He made his way there, and he was not afraid of the fire. He was drawn to it. You know, have you ever experienced that in your own life? Somehow you just knew you should be at a particular place, or you knew that you needed to speak a word to someone. You feel something pulling at you and compelling you to go. It becomes an overwhelming urge, and it is a powerful thing. And you have to be able to discern between what is a true calling and what is your own desire and your own wants. When we want something bad enough, we can convince ourselves that it's from Yah. And there's always a danger of compromise, and we have to be able to discern what is of Abba and what is not. And we want to make sure that we're not avoiding his call and the things that he wants us to do, but we have to be able to separate out our own wants and desires from what he wants. Sometimes he wants the opposite of what we're trying to do. And we have to remember that we are subject to him, and he sees what we do not. We get tunnel vision, and we get fixated, and we get focused on things. But our Abba always looks at the bigger picture, and he has a plan. He's had a plan from the beginning, and he is working out that plan. He has called different people at different times for certain things that he wants them to do, and it goes all the way back to the beginning. Moshe was reluctant to fulfill his calling. And when it came time for him to do what Yah wanted him to do, He was looking for a way out, and he was full of excuses. You know, for those people who have truly experienced Yah's call in their life, they can identify with Moshe and what he felt like. Our Abba calls us to do things that take us out of our comfort zone. And it's, you know, a daunting thing to think about that. He calls people out of different places and different walks of life and different positions. And the things that you fear the most sometimes are exactly what he asks of you. And Moshe did not want to go back to Egypt. And he certainly did not want to go back into Pharaoh's court and speak to him. You know, he had been living the life of a shepherd for 40 years, had become comfortable with that life. It was a simple life, a life, a peaceful life. And now, Abba's calling him to go back right into the midst of the fire. Let's look at Exodus 4, verse 10. Exodus 4, verse 10. And Moshe said to Yahweh, O Yahweh, I am not a man of words, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant. For I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. And Yahweh said to him, Who has made a man's mouth? Or who makes dumb or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, Yahweh? And now go, and I shall be with your mouth and teach you what to say. But he said, O Yahweh, please send by the hand of him whom you would send. And the displeasure of Yahweh burned against Moshe. And he said, Is not Aharon the Levi your brother? I know that he speaks well. And see, he is also coming out to meet you. And when he sees you, he shall be glad in his heart. And you shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth. And I am with your mouth and with his mouth, and I shall teach you what to do. And he shall speak for you to the people. And it shall be that he shall be a mouth for you, and you shall be an Elohim for him. And take this rod in your hand with which you shall do the signs. He didn't really leave Moshe an out, did he? He had an answer for every argument that Moshe put forth. If Abba has something for us to do, he will not let us rest until we do it. Many of the people that Yah called to do specific things were very reluctant to do them. They didn't go running into it with open arms. Now, Yonah was not very happy about going to Nineveh, was he? He tried to get out of that. Yah seems to seek out those who think they're not really capable or able to do the things that he asks them to do. And I'm sure he has a reason for all of that and a purpose. Elohim has even given the creation a calling. Let's turn to Genesis 1, 5. Genesis 1, 5. And Elohim called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there came to be evening, and there came to be morning, the first day. Have you thought about why he called you out, and what purpose he has for you? For every person that he calls out of this world, there's a reason and a purpose. But who created a hunger and a thirst in you for the word of Yahweh and to live by his Torah? We have all suffered for our decisions and for turning to him and his word and choosing to live the way of life that he has called us to live. Yeah, we've suffered problems in our relationships, and some people have had, you know, issues in their family, and other people have suffered problems, you know, with their employment. People have given up a lot to follow Yah and get back to the truth of his word and to walk in the way that he has called us out to walk. So it doesn't come without a price. You know, when we answer the call, we don't think about what might happen down the road. We don't think about what price we may have to pay. We just know that we have to follow him. And we do. You know, who sets you on the path to seek out his word and to seek out what it really says? You know, a lot of people call it seeking our Hebrew roots. You know, a desire was created in us to pursue the truth of his word. And he creates a desire in us to love all the things that are of him. You know, we desire to keep the appointed times that he asks us to keep. We desire to keep his commandments. We desire to do everything he asks of us. And we willingly give up the things of this world. We don't want them anymore. They become, you know, detestable things that we don't even want to be tied to. Calling puts a strong desire and urge in you to go wherever and do whatever Yah asks of you. You know, for many of us, that first challenge was the Shabbat. But we just knew that we had to keep Shabbat. And so we did. That's where it began for many of us. You know, what is it that causes us to leave our old lives and the things that we believe for years and the things that we held near and dear? What causes us to leave all that behind and seek to walk in the way of our Abba? It's his call. It's responding to him. And there will be more sacrifices to make before we're through. Let's look at 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. For Elohim has not given us a spirit of cowardice, but of power and of love and of self-control. So do not be ashamed of the witness of our master, nor of me his prisoner, but suffer hardship with me for the good news according to the power of Elohim, who has saved us and called us with a set-apart calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and favor, which was given to us in Messiah Yehoshua before times of old, but now revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Yehoshua Messiah, who indeed abolished death and brought life and incorruptibility to light through the good news, for which I was appointed a proclaimer and an emissary and a teacher of the nations. You know, it doesn't end when Abba calls us out of the world, because we have to seek out our calling. We have to seek out our purpose, and we have to pursue it. You know, we can't hide from the life that Yah has called us to, and we can't avoid doing what he has for us to do, if that is his purpose for us. When he is calling, you will know. It is an overpowering and overwhelming urge that cannot be suppressed or stifled, and he will not let you rest until you do what he wants you to do. I ran for a long time. I didn't want to do the things that he was calling me out to do. But I finally surrendered, reluctantly, and gave in to what he wanted me to do. And I am still reluctant at times to speak what he gives me to speak, because I know it is not going to be met with joy by some people. But I cannot remain silent when he moves on me to speak. And it doesn't matter the consequences that I suffer for that, what people may say about me or what people may feel about me. And I know there is more for me, but he has not revealed it all yet. And nothing he asks of me can be too much. I have given myself up to him. I have surrendered myself to him. And my life is not my own anymore. He has a reason and a purpose for each one he calls out, and we may not know or understand fully what our calling is yet, but we have to be willing and to give ourselves up to him for what he wants to do, because it's all to bring glory and honor and praise to him.
You have been listening to the weekly Shabbat teaching of Congregation Beit HaEmet, brought to you by HaEmet Ministries, where we encourage you to rethink, relearn, and return to the pure word and way of our Elohim. For more teaching, resources, and information about HaEmet Ministries, please visit our website at www.haemet.org. That's www.haemet.org. May our Abba bless you richly throughout this coming week and guide you into his truth. Shavua Tov.